Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Today's Saturday, December 12th, 2020. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.
All right. Well, Matthew, it's been a good week so far. We are midway through December, and I know that our last episode I uploaded on Friday, December 11th. It was about the alignment of the planets, and I guess they're still in alignment right now. They're still, you know, kind of forming, and that now people are taking photos of Jupiter and Saturn and their closeness together. And we also talked about the North Star, which I guess had to do with the alignment of the planets, that the North Star hadn't been seen in like 800 years since 1226.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned a couple astrological phenomenons that are
and the
occurring.
Wow signal, and yeah.
You mentioned that wow signal, and it does seem like there's a bit of an uptick in interest in what is currently happening, especially in the nighttime skies, or if you have really good technology, you can see this even in the daytime.
I mean, Matthew had just told me today that the telescope sales have been skyrocketing because of this phenomenon, and I actually looked for myself after you told me that, and yeah, it would take you about a month or so to even get one, and with COVID, getting anything right now is hard to get something
it's
in the mail.
Still a challenge.
Yeah, so I think on top of that, it would be really hard. But I was like a glass half empty where I said, you know, why don't they just get a telescope anyway and be curious about space and the stars? But I get it now. I get why this is such a big deal. And I think it's great that it's encouraging people to look up and to be interested in the galaxy and interested in the planets, even if you don't believe in astrology. They do affect us, and they do affect the vibrations and the magnetism of our Earth. And I think it's really fascinating that you can see planets from our planet, because every sci-fi movie I've ever watched, there's a scene where they can see other planets, or they land on a planet, and you can see moons, and you can see their suns, and they're so close to each other.
It is amazing to think right now exactly how close some of these planets are, that they are fairly easy to see with the naked eye. That
yeah.
You can actually see, you know, with Saturn so close, you can kind of pick up that ring, that there's a ring around there, at least a ring.
And the Saturn's actually going to be losing its rings eventually. It won't be in our lifetime that it will be completely bald. But it actually is gradually losing its rings. But I also think that it's amazing that it does make people stop and think about how small we are and how humble we should be, and that we exist, but we're just a small part of this huge universe and this huge galaxy, and Gaia, which is what our galaxy is, the Milky Way. It sits in this Gaia universe. And if you are a comic book fan and DC and Marvel fans, the multiverse is a big thing with DC. The Infinity War with DC, and the multiverse war, and, you know, just the idea that there's this anti-monitor that can come and like kill everything that exists. It can just wipe out the whole galaxy. And if you see that in just sci-fi shows, I mean, it's like Star Trek. Like Matthew always says, Star Trek could be a real thing. It could actually really relate to mankind. And it could make man realize, hey, let's put our hatred and our fears and our racism and discrimination and put them away and come together and really try to figure out how we can continue to be a human race. And if it means living on a spaceship in space, oh, that's what we're going to have to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think once most people realize just how small planet Earth really is and how connected we all are and are connected to this planet, you know, maybe then more of us will start to look up and realize that, you know,
maybe we should stop having wars.
Opportunity out there.
Yeah, and there's so much more out there that's bigger than
us.
You know,
maybe that there is more to than just what is the land on this earth, that it does seem like so many want to shed blood over to keep or
yeah.
whatever, when it's just land. I mean,
and if you believe in God or you don't, and you believe that there's something bigger than you, the universe, you can start with that. I mean, the universe is bigger than us, and that it's out there. It's real. There's evidence of it. and it's growing just like we are. Our planet's growing just like we are. But listeners, I suggest you guys, if you're bored out of your mind one day, I would go on YouTube, and I don't know the exact usernames, but I will be sure to add them later when I edit this episode. But there's a couple of YouTube channels I like to follow that upload sounds that the planets make in space. And the Earth has the most unique sound, because it's almost like you could hear life on the planet. It's this beautiful swirling sound of mammals and the wind and the water, and just, it's so different than all the other planets. The other planets just sound very desolate, and they actually make more of a sound rather than, like, they make more of a noise or a vibration than the Earth. I mean, the Earth is a planet, but it's just something different about that, about the sound that it emits in space.
I think there's a lot. It's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, we like to think of planet Earth as a living,
breathing thing.
Being.
Yeah.
And more so than some of the other planets we know, so as being kind of dead planets, void of any kind of life or life
at least that we know of.
Yeah, exactly.
At least that you and I know of. I'm sure there are.
There may be other kind of forms or life that we can't even begin to.
I mean, Jupiter has rainstorms of diamonds. So that just goes to show you how unrare diamonds are.
I mean, isn't that great? Imagine that if the ability would come that you would be able to go and visit.
Harvest diamonds from
each one of the planets, and you would just somehow be able to go visit one.
Yeah.
Go there. I mean, some of them, right, are just like a big ball of gas, so it's just you in your little suit out there.
That would be amazing. I would love to do that. But I think that the Earth, when I listen to all the planets and what the sounds that they made, these sounds are actually recorded by satellites and, like, other satellites that could travel to the planets. And the Earth made a sound that's closest to that sound that you say when you are doing yoga or chanting, when you go om, when you're going om. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's actually the sound of the Earth. That's exactly how the sound of the Earth, what the sound of the Earth makes when you hear it in space. So when you're chanting Om, you're actually chanting to Gaia. You're chanting to the planet, chanting with the planet. But I just wanted to thank you guys for listening, and for also our past, emails that we've gotten. We always are looking forward to your point of view about things, whether they're hard-hitting questions or topics or just really fun, light topics. You're more than welcome to share that with us. We're always interested in your perspective. What other news do we have to talk about today? You got a gift basket from work, right?
You wanted to mention that for whatever that's worth. I think it's kind of funny, at least for you and me, because I would say, especially specifically this gift basket, this Henry and David one. Harry and David?
I think so, yeah. I think
Harry and David? Harry and David?
Yeah.
Henry
and David?
Oh, my goodness.
It's Harry and David.
It does seem to be. It's an inside joke for us anyway, because we are fans of the show Broad City.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I think of it, that's why it was just so funny to see that, because that's what it made me think of.
Yeah, there's an episode in the show, spoiler alert, where Alana's roommate is gay, and he's an immigrant, which I don't think matters, but his family is from out of the country, and, you know, he comes out as gay, and he thinks that they appreciate the fact that he came out, so they get this gift basket by accident, and it's in front of their door, And they're having this, Alana wants to have this weed party.
They needed to be able to pay for
rat. Yeah, they wanted to pay for, an exterminator. There was a rat.
Because they had exterminator because there was this rat.
And they had to pay their rent money towards it.
Another spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, right? It's Gene from Bob's Burger that plays the exterminator.
Yeah, so they get the gift basket. And, of course, he thinks it's his parents, like, congratulating him and saying that they love him. And he's like, she's like, oh, it's Harry and David. They must be gay lovers. It must make sense that they gave you this gift basket. And long story short, it doesn't end up being for them. And they have to scramble to kind of make a new one with whatever's left in the basket. But when Matthew got this basket from work, it was from Harry and David.
So it makes me think of a couple of things, especially since in that episode, like Megan said, they had to put it back together. Basically, after consuming about every bit of it, they were putting garbage back to doll it up and make it look
with
like
a shower
that,
curtain.
Which makes me think of the last delivery that I ever made delivering pizzas working for Congress Pizza. And it was a mistake. And it was Congress, they were closing for the night. And they basically had kind of all these partial orders and some food. And instead of throwing it out, my business partner and I, they handed the food to us and they gave it to us, right?
Yeah.
So we had one last order to deliver. And as it turns out, as we get there, we realize we don't have their order.
Whoops.
So the decision was made. Let's give them the food that we have.
Oh my gosh.
All this partially half eaten. It was like roast beef and mashed potatoes and bread. It was anything but the pizza that they ate.
You mosh-poshed everything together.
Yeah. Handed it to them. Exactly 5 minutes later, the manager called and says, don't ever come back again.
So that's when you lost your job.
Thank you.
So that's when you lost your job. But how am I going to pay for my weed money?
It was an interesting job working for that particular one because it's, you say, working for your weed money. I would say probably 90% of the delivery drivers, that is why they were delivering.
Of course, but also you probably didn't like the job enough for you to care.
And it was very eye-opening because I would say, you say weed, I would say
other things of
the 90% that were there doing that for some kind of recreational use, I would say at least half of them were there for hardcore drug use.
I mean, you can't judge, you know?
You can't judge.
As long as you do your job right, and hopefully you don't do it while you're working, you could do it when you get home.
No, that was the thing. To see that once or twice, to see their guy kind of roll up on him. One time he actually fumbled around and like a needle fell out of his pocket.
Ew.
Left it there and it's like...
You don't want that even left anywhere because someone could pick it up or it could stick someone. But I think in a way, like, you probably didn't like that job enough for you to care, for you to have to do that. You don't want the customer to suffer.
It was interesting to being able to deliver pizza on the west side. You know, there were some very good customers, and then it would be very eye-opening to see the customers that the pizza, 1727? Here is $17.27.
Yeah, it was no tip.
Oh, no tip?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. So that's why then my business partner got really clever when we started delivering pizzas. It was like, okay, they hand you a 20, go. They hand you two 20s, go.
It doesn't sound like anything
Turn right
you
around
did.
And go.
It doesn't sound like anything you did
don't,
was a
don't
good
Don't give
thing.
Them the option to see if they can make change.
I think you got fired for the accumulation of all of those things, not just for that one
may
delivery.
Have been, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it was for all of those. I think they were like, this is the last straw. They've been stealing from us. I mean, you didn't steal from the company, but you stole from the client. Once again, Matthew, that's why Matthew doesn't work in customer service.
No, I don't handle that.
No, when I'm very good with working with customer service. I love working with people. Part of the reason why it was hard for me to leave doing hair was because I loved, you know, doing hair on my clients. I loved my clients. I really was a people person. But I think they can tell when you're not happy when you're doing hair, and they can read a room.
No, especially
some clients
when you're that
are smart
close,
enough.
Right?
And, yeah, they
you gotta
can read
be able
a room.
To feel that energy.
Yeah, I mean, when I left the last place, they would actually, my friends and my clients would say, oh my gosh, I'm kind of glad you left because I could feel your tension, or like, or I didn't like your boss, or, and I'm like, why didn't you say this before? And they're like, why would we want to? We didn't want to ruin it for you. These are the topics I wanted to talk about. They are pretty interesting. I know we also talked about that monolith last time. I didn't go into the fact that I think it was actually in the Netherlands. That's where that other one was.
The Netherlands, not Sweden.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still.
But now a couple more have popped up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, now it's kind of like a couple of them have actually just been directly claimed by people that said, yes, we went out and did it.
I mean, I don't think I would even do that. I think I would just be anonymous. That's the mystery. So I know that we talk a lot about, you know, LGBTQ, and I know that our podcast throughout, I think halfway through our first season, we did talk about gay rights and trans rights, and we did talk about that show Pose, and, you know, we talked about a few other things like the Gay Pride Month and trans rights, and I thought this would be interesting. This is from YonNews.com. And this is about Elliot Page, who is formerly Ellen Page. And if you don't know who Ellen Page, I will say her as for her, who she was. Ellen Page was in Juno and a couple other movies as a teenager. I think Juno was either her second or first movie, but that kind of put her on the map at that time. And then she didn't come out when she was in Umbrella Academy. And you and I love Umbrella Academy. Well, they're coming out with a new season. So they're going to continue filming after January 1st. So that's exciting for you and I to watch that the next season. And that's something that you and I have not talked about on the podcast, that show. We've talked about a couple of other shows.
No, it's a Netflix original.
It's a Netflix original. Well, now Ellen has come out as Elliot Page. And it says that Elliot Page will continue to play the role of Vanya Hargreaves in the Netflix show The Umbrella Academy. The show is one of the most popular series on the OTT platform and narrates the story of a family of superheroes. In the series, Paige plays Vanya, a cisgender woman, which I think I disagree with because I think, spoiler alert, there's an episode where she does fall in love with a woman. But I think that in the beginning, she is with a man. So she's considered cisgender.
But I would agree.
I'm going to go ahead and say pansexual because she was with a girl and a guy. And I think that I don't think that she was ever really that comfortable around men. So the cisgender thing, I don't understand why they put that in there. But they play a cisgender woman whose superpower involves unleashing force through the use of sound. According to reports, the makers have no plans of changing the character's gender. A few days back, Paige came out as a gender non-binary transgender person in a heartfelt video on social media. Star of the films like Juno and X-Men, Paige was earlier known as Ellen Page. Now, I need to break this down for a second. It says that he came out as a non-binary transgender. That's kind of not the same. But if you're transgender, are you transitioning into a non-binary or are you transitioning into a male? Because transgender means you're either one or the other. Non-binary means that you're neither.
Elliot, I believe, would like to be referred to as they, them. Right?
Okay. So transgender non-binary means that they are transitioning from female to non-binary. I mean, that's what I'm trying to comprehend. If you guys can tell us, please send us your email or your input. But I think that's what it means. Because I thought that was kind of like the opposite. But I guess you can be both. Because it's like how people think, oh, you're a trans woman. Does that mean that you're gay? If your trans woman is with a female, people think, oh, you're gay. But you could just be pansexual.
I would say definitely Elliot is transgender, formally.
From female to non-binary.
A woman who was probably at least lesbian, right?
Like one of our friends.
Or bisexual.
Yeah, like one of our friends that we know, I always thought they were they.
I mean, there's just so many. That's the thing I started to just realize more and more how much our own bodies are just.
shells, and they just they really are. And they really, you know, if you really think about just how powerful our brain is and what we're all capable
of. I like knowing that. I like knowing new things like that.
Understanding that really our bodies are really quite underwhelming for what we potentially could do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I always say that people who are trans or non-binary, I think that they're like superheroes. They are like superheroes because they have to go, and even intersex. I mean, they are going through something that we, most people don't understand. And I don't think you should treat them any differently than other people, but I think you should acknowledge who they are and their identity. And I think that going through hormone therapy is one of, if not the hardest thing a human can go through. And that's just even going through hormone therapy if you had cancer or if you had a baby or if you're, you know, if your hormones need, if you need to go through hormone therapy, anything that has to do with your hormones, it's a big fucking deal. And if you're friends with that person, be patient because it takes a lot out of somebody. Paige's name has already been updated on the IMDb page of the Umbrella Academy. The streaming platform also updated his name. See, they're saying his. So that's what I'm saying. If you're non-binary, it's they, them. So I think whoever's writing this, then write
it
right.
Elliot does want to be him.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm kind of criticizing this article. I don't think it's this person. I don't think it's Paige. I think it's whoever wrote this.
The point of it, and maybe it's kind of hard right now to get things accurate, but the point of it is to hear that they are going to recognize.
Well, they're
going to
keep him as Vanya.
And
he's
going to
be Vanya.
The character is not going to change.
No.
And I think that's very empowering for the actor, for everyone.
But the character has changed a lot in the show. Like, they went from, spoiler alert, to, like, this shy person to now this very powerful person who's more confident in themselves and knows that they have potential.
He has grown that with the more,
yes,
the deeper the connection.
So maybe
the
that show kind of inspired him to come out and be like, you know what, I really love this character. Maybe this character was one of the reasons.
Maybe the fellow or castmates or,
yeah,
or definitely.
He's 33 years old.
Elliot has also, I believe, come out and commended his wife and said, yeah, I mean, because of that, you know, giving strength and power,
yeah,
to be able to do that.
She's,
I mean,
probably like so patient. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's probably really patient with him.
Wonderful. So.
So it says that on December 1st, the Oscar-nominated actor in a post introduced himself as a member of the trans community and wrote, "I love that I am trans and I love that I am queer." He thanked his supporters and added, I feel overwhelming gratitude for the incredible people who have supported me along this journey. I can't begin to express how remarkable it feels to finally love who I am enough to pursue my authentic self. Elliot Page came out as gay in 2014. Now I remember that. And I was like, oh yeah, I could totally see that. Like, I just saw him as being queer, you know, in general. Soon after he came out, several celebrities, including Mark Ruffalo, it's my boy, Miley Cyrus and Ellen DeGeneres congratulated the star. So that's great. So if you're listening, Paige, which I doubt you will listen to our podcast, congratulations. We support you. We love you. And if you yourself are struggling, just realize you're not alone and that whoever you are, whatever you feel you were or you want to be, and you're the most happiest, do it. Don't let anyone get in your way, but also do it in a humble manner and thank the people that stood by you and are still supporting you because you can't do it alone.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Listen to those that are going to empower you and build you up and try to kind of negate and close out the naysayers and the non-believers and all of them.
Yeah, and I think that with these phenomena going on with the planets and our crazy ass president that we had and just so much stuff happening right now, it's a lot. It's a lot for people and it's really affecting people. And I think that coming out is a big deal, but I will love the day where people can just be people and they don't have to worry about coming out. They can just introduce you and shake their hand and say, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah.
be able to say, you know, I'm on this journey or I'm part of this journey, and people are going, great, we're humans, we're here, you know. I think when more and more people start to realize, I mean, we're not just A and B, we're not just black and white, we're not just, you know, like I said, stated before, we just have this problem of wanting to put us in boxes, really easy boxes to understand, and we're so much more than that.
Yeah, we're just humans.
We shouldn't be contained. Yeah, we shouldn't allow ourselves to do that. That's what we need to understand is, you know, we're more than just that.
Yeah, we have to be, and we encourage you guys to.
I mean, we're more than just even animals. With my understanding and with the way I believe we're connected to this earth and.
Aww, you gonna start crying?
I could.
Okay. Okay, so moving on, I thought my next topic would be interesting. This has been bothering me for a while, I think, so I'm kind of glad I found this article. It's from businessinsider.com. I always try to keep my sources legit and neutral, non-biased. I don't like to go on websites where, you know, it sounds like they're just leaning towards one side. This actually came out on Halloween, but I'm glad that it came out so early, because now I haven't really seen this happen for a little while, until like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think I did see it when we were traveling to Portland. I saw a little bit of this outdoor dining. So the tents and stuff. I remember I think back in October, we had an episode where you and I talked about what that would be and how we would become of this. When we went to tier three again, at least for Illinois, if people like my friends and people who are servers and bartenders, if they would be losing their jobs because it's going to get cold. In some states, it's getting colder. In California and warmer states, you're probably still okay. But at least for the Midwest, it's getting colder. It's getting chillier. Rain, lots of rain. So outdoor seating is a little harder. So this article said, should you dine in a restaurant tent this winter? It depends on 5 safety factors. So I thought this would be interesting for you, Matt, because you're in the food industry. It says that outdoor dining has been seen as a relatively safe activity during the pandemic because there's a good airflow and sunlight, which both help nix the coronavirus. But as winter descends on the U.S. and in Europe, more outdoor dining spots are erecting tents to keep their diners cozy. Those tents are not necessarily as safe as the great outdoors. Insider surveyed 3 leading public health experts about dining out in tents. All 3 said that they'd be cautious about it and make sure that there was enough airflow, space, and time allowed between dining parties. So it said, by this point in the pandemic, we know that dining outdoors is safer than indoors. There's a far better airflow for the coronavirus to dissipate. But what happens when you throw a tent into the mix? As restaurants across the U.S. retrofit their outdoor seating arrangements for the more blustery winter months ahead, they've erected plexiglass walls, set up outdoor heaters, and even popped up little personal plastic tents and igloos in the hopes of making diners feel comfortable enough and warm enough to keep on coming back for more meals. There is a no-size-fits-all answer to whether dining inside a tent during the pandemic is safe. Insider spoke with 3 leading public health experts. So here's what they said. So it says, personal dining tents are okay, but not as good as being outdoors. Dr. Megan Murray, an infectious disease expert at Harvard, says that there's a spectrum of risk to consider when weighing whether to dine out during the pandemic. Some of the very safest dining possible ways, she says, would be outdoors in the sun with a decent breeze, a to-go style eatery where you don't even have to have a server coming up close to you. Conversely, some of the most dangerous pandemic dining would be very crowded spaces without good ventilation, like bars. Tent dining sits somewhere in the middle of those 2 extremes. It's probably better than being in a tightly enclosed space without any open windows in a bar, but it's not being outdoors and in sunlight either, Murray said. To assume that because you're in a tent, you're getting the same advantage as being outside, just because you're cold, it's not really correct. I mean, we don't need her to tell me that. I already know that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a variety
of... The igloos are ridiculous! The igloos are ridiculous!
Little barns or homes that are made out of plexiglass. And the white tents. We've seen the tents. Yeah. We've seen them made out of plywood.
I like the outdoor ones where they have a roof, like a top, and then the heater lamp, because at least you're outside, there's no walls. I've seen that where I've seen the plexiglass with the tent. Like, there's a spot over near us that I've actually driven by, and they have the awnings over the outdoor seats. Well, they're
afforded more space.
And then they have plexiglass, and they have heaters. So you're warm, but you're outside. You're not, like, in a tent. Not every
place is afforded that. They're afforded a...
Yeah, I mean,
that's... They have a street there to be able to do that between the two businesses.
Well, that dining space that we talked about in the summertime, it's a big tent now. That's what I'm a little upset about, that they couldn't do the... But not every place can afford heat lamps. Not every place can afford plexiglass.
And even then, it's still not always going to be ideal, although
if you're enclosed, though.
Not been too bad because the weather has been relatively mild. We've had a pretty good start to our winter.
Marie said that if she had to go with a tent right now, she would pick one of the individual ones meant to seat only one party at a time. Professor Lindsay Marr, an environmental engineer at Virginia Tech, who studies how viruses circulate in the atmosphere, generally agrees with that stance. When I first saw those tents, the little individual tents, I was like, oh, that's terrible, it's indoors. But then I realized, well, if there's only one party in there, then you're not really sharing the air with other people. So I wouldn't go in there with people outside my bubble. Like if you think of minimizing contact with the waiter, those seem reasonable. But here's what I'm gonna say. If you have one party in there, what's to say that you're not going in there with people that you quarantined with? What if you're going in there with people that you haven't seen in a while and you don't know if they're safe?
I mean, that's the responsible thing when they're talking about having a party, is that all the members of the party would be
safe to be with.
Have been together or whatever, would have been tested, that they would not be risking the exposure, especially if one of them were to be positive, even that person wanted to even be there to begin with, or that somebody who potentially has been exposed would not be there in a setting.
Yeah, because if you have one party in there at a time, you don't know if someone's sick and then you're
in that less than 6 foot bubble.
But I'm guessing that they probably spray those tents down each time.
I don't know.
Maybe they have those HEPA filters.
I mean, I know they would probably wipe down the surfaces. Yeah. And you would think they would do something like that, but.
So this other infectious disease expert says, they work in infection prevention in Arizona, says they would still be worried about dining in anything that is fully enclosed. The more contained, the worse. If you are considering dining out in a tent, then there are 5 items to consider first. Number 1, staying in your household pod when dining out and avoiding crowds is best.
That's what we're just talking about, responsibility, being with people that
first,
you are.
First, assess how crowded the space is. Mara says that she's only comfortable frequenting places where the seating is outdoors and the tables are far, far apart. So far, she's dined out twice during the pandemic. I would do it if it's uncrowded and no one is any closer than 10 feet away and the conditions were not stagnant, like there was a gentle breeze or something. Another factor to consider, like you wouldn't want to go out when it's raining, like right now, because it's stagnant air. It's not windy. You know, you want to go when it's like, when it's just not raining or stagnant. Another factor to consider was how rowdy the patrons seem. A ruckus scene could drive up transmission. If there's a bunch of people drinking and kind of carousing, I mean, it looks like fun, but they may not be attending to your safety as much as you want them to. It's no fun for us, but, you know, for the time being, I think that's how we have to go. Number 2, ideally, there's some downtime in between tent groups to let the tent air out. So there have been cases of coronavirus transmission happening through the air at further than 6 feet of distance. This worries many health experts because it suggests that tiny virus particles called aerosols can remain aloft and float around in space, maybe even after a little while after a sick person has left the area. That's what I was gonna say. Like, it could still stick around in the air. Putting some time and good ventilation in between dining groups helps mitigate this risk. In between different parties, you'd want to kind of open it up and allow time for it to air out before the next party goes in. That would lower, but not necessarily eliminate completely, your chances of getting sick from the previous giant diner's germs in the tent. We don't really know how long aerosols last, but at least the larger droplets will have fallen out of the atmosphere by the time you get in there. Another thing that people can do to prevent transmission of the virus is to keep their voices low while they're out. We know that we release more aerosols when we talk louder. That's interesting, I didn't know that.
That's why they said like sporting events were super spreaders, or some of these rallies, because as you're shouting, sometimes you're more likely to even spittle or air droplets and a lot more air. You're expelling a lot more air, especially the louder you talk. That's why, you know, that's why they're really understanding. Kind of, some people are much more susceptible or much more likely to spread it because of the way they interact, because they are kind of loud speakers, or they tend to kind of
or they have
spittle,
a lisp, or like I know you and I probably
a lisp or expel a lot of air as they breathe. And then some people, they're finding, you know, as we mentioned before, are for some reason much more susceptible to it, as far as getting it, more susceptible to the symptoms and more at risk of that. And then there's all the underlying health issues that we don't know, the secondary health problems that are occurring, that even in asymptomatic...
I didn't know that it was actually reaching longer than 6 feet now.
Even in asymptomatic people, they are finding, you know, like scar tissue in the lungs. And right. Even I saw a new article where people's smell, you know, they said like, you know, one of the early symptoms is you lose your sense of taste. Mm. Well, now they're finding in people that have had it and now they're coming back that it has screwed their smell up. They're finding that they smell a lot of things. To them, it says it smells like gasoline.
Yikes. Is that like reversible? Can you fix it? I mean,
unknown.
Number three, befriend breezes, fans, and sunlight. Any kind of enclosure is going to reduce the benefits of natural airflow outside. The question is how much? So take a look at the material your tent is made of. If it's just plastic, that probably doesn't have a lot of airflow through it.
Well, dang, it sounds like then you have two options. You better move your outdoor eating either to San Diego or to the middle of the equator.
Or just order in.
I mean, you want to keep seeing sunlight.
In New York City, for example, outdoor dining restrictions stipulate that 50% of the side walls of tents need to remain open for outdoor dining. Otherwise, fully enclosed tents must limit their seating capacity to 25%, essentially adhering to the same restrictions as indoors. Plastic domes and other personal tents for individual parties are allowed in New York too, but they must have adequate ventilation to allow for air circulation. And so it says, I'm personally am comfortable with a roof. It may be one wall for weather protection. So that's like how it is around here. I've seen that where it's just one roof and maybe one wall or a plexiglass and then a heat lamp. So you still have that one area where the air is flowing, but you can stay warm and comfortable. And if it rains or whatever, then you don't have anything falling on your head.
Mm, maybe it is just the three-sided, but...
But see, some of those places that have the tents, too, are places that don't have outdoor seating. If you're at a place where they already have that during the summertime, like normal outdoor seating, that's an advantage because they already have tables and chairs, they already have all that set up, but they can just put the roof over and then the heat lamps. Some of these places I've seen around here that have the tents are just places that you have to eat indoors. They're either not big enough, or they don't. That's just not an accommodation because they don't have enough sidewalk space or space. You know, street.
That's why some places are really gonna struggle with this.
So making sure everyone's mask game is strong. Another thing to consider before deciding whether to dine out at a given location is to notice what's going on with the masks. Murray, for one, checks to make sure her server will practice proper masking etiquette. If they're wearing a mask, if it looks like they're wearing it properly, or if it looks like one of those really flimsy masks sort of hanging from their chin and not around their face, that's what scares me the most. If I went to a restaurant, the server is standing above you and respiratory droplets fall down and they're usually pretty close. Restaurants that ask patrons to mask while when not eating and drinking. She says that that's a privilege, obviously. And number five would be consider cases in your, case counts in your area. Finally, before you dine out, consider what's happening right now where you live. Check out COVID-19 statistics on your local health department website. If they're available, and then consider whether or not infection and hospitalization rates are on the uptick. We are all ready to just not cook for ourselves and go out. I totally get it. You have to keep an eye on what is today's infection count and know that every time it goes up, that you put your actual risk from one of those events much higher. Obviously, those are the rules. Those are all those tips. I'm going to actually add the link in the description, but I mean, I'm just going to avoid it altogether. There's maybe one or two places that I know we could go to that just have the root.
The key there was the last tip there, understanding what, say, current positivity rates, what is currently going on, you know, do you have community buy-in? Is there the idea that everybody's wearing a mask and trying to keep their distance and obeying those guidelines that will soon be mandates? You know, I think there are places with that, but there's also a lot of places where that isn't in existence, and I wouldn't be willing to go out because I believe you're putting yourself or potentially, you know, families
Someone
or others
at
risk.
As
they've mentioned and tried to keep mentioning, that this isn't so much about you, but it's about those around you, and you know, that's just it. Do you care about somebody else that you don't know or somebody that you do know?
Yep. You just have to be careful. You have to.
That was good. Those are some good tips about eating out, because, you know, a lot of places do have that, and you see the tents and you kind of wonder if that's still effective. And
I think it put my mind at rest. I think it was a lot of the stuff I was thinking about too.
Yeah. So things will get better and we'll be back to indoor dining. And
we think we're going to be back to indoor dining next summer, next spring, when it gets warmer, at least in the Midwest? You think it'll happen?
Yeah.
At least I think the requirement will not only be a mask, but now you have to have a vaccine.
No, I think honestly by June, this will be
back to normal. You think so?
Yeah.
It's becoming the norm for me to just wear a mask everywhere. And I think that up until we get our vaccine, I'm just going to keep wearing it. And then once I get the vaccine, I don't know. I might still wear it a little bit.
The recommendation right now is don't let up right now.
Yeah.
Continue to practice those guidelines of mask wearing and staying distance and frequent hand washing and, you know, wiping down frequently touched surfaces, to slow the spread, stop the spread.
And what Matthew and I do is I've actually put like water and sanitizer in a bottle and just spray the air. Sometimes we spray it in our place, and that helps with what she would call aerosols, those little tiny microscopic particles.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just wipe down those surfaces.
Yeah. And also, when you get home, don't pet your pet right away. Wash your hands.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've mentioned to a few people, and what probably some people don't understand, especially about infectious diseases, that it's pretty rare that there is a disease of any kind, whether it's bacteria, virus, mold, any kind of microorganism that has the ability to infect and cause illness and serious illness to that fact in both, not only humans, but we're finding in a variety of animals, whether it's domestic cats, wild cats, minks, dogs. It's showing up in animals, which this is, you know, it's very, very rare to see viruses and bacteria do that. I mean, you can think of like encephalitis and West Nile virus. These are viruses that initially do impact kind of wildlife and farm animals before they ever impact, you know, the human population.
Yeah.
And here we have something right now that's kind of almost on the reverse, where you have seen the human population infect certain animals and population of animals and certain species. I mean, right now, where was that? It's like Denmark or somewhere that has like all the minks that do the mink coats. They basically had to put down their entire population because they all got infected by, they think, by a couple of handlers or farmers.
Yikes. Which the animals had to suffer for that, and that's not fair, but...
So it just goes to show you, I mean, especially, you know, the importance of science and the importance of advancing technology so that we can further understand, you know, especially diseases and be able to combat them, and that's what's just been so amazing about... You know, I don't think we've really mentioned the fact that, yeah, there's this vaccine. They've already got a matter of fact, there's more than one. There's at least three or four out there now. And the fact that, you know, this was developed within under 12 months is just insane. You know, and I see some people
I'm glad
kind
it's
of,
happened so quickly.
Yeah, and I just see that some people are kind of posting, how come they can't come up with vaccines for this or that? Or, I mean,
because we're not worried about that right now.
Yeah, that's just science.
We need
to
do one thing at a time.
That's just the way it is. It's amazing.
I think as far as information we can share about our experience with the building that we got.
Yeah, I kind of thought on some lighter note here, just some around the town, some of our own topics there you just started mentioning. So we can start with that. This new laundry, there is no other laundry like it necessarily within the city, whether that's a paid laundromat.
You can take a look at the app too.
You know, perhaps there's something like this in some of the high rises downtown, but I know in all of our previous stops where there has been laundry facilities that we've had to pay for, they've always been simply coin operated. That's it. You know, it's the old type coin operated, and right now we have gotten an upgrade that it takes an app, it uses kind of that online technology, you can start it, you can advance it, you can add money, time. It, unlike the coin operated one, if you had wanted to wash like one or two things, it was $2, you had to pay $2. This thing here is awesome. You've only got a small load, well, you're only gonna pay for a small load. You got a full heavy load, then that's what you're gonna pay for. This is sweet. So we're excited about that. We're excited for something laundry. Wonderful. Another thing I thought I would mention for us is as well that, you know, earlier this week we did celebrate a wedding anniversary of 7 years together. And, you know, instead of being able to go out, I believe last year what we had done was went to Fondue Stube and had fondue. We brought it home. We made it home. I mean, we made it here at home. I thought it was one of the best things that we have ever made together. I thought the deliciousness, the level of deliciousness, if it was 1 to 10, was a 20 or 100.
For the laundry?
For the fondue, I'm talking.
Oh.
I mentioned the laundry.
Well, let me add about the laundry.
I want to back up a little bit about our super technology
I thought
laundry.
The laundry room was really cool because he and I put in work orders, and well, I mostly put work orders in, along with other tenants in this building, about the machines eating the coins and the coin thing getting stuck.
We had heard from other tenants around the rumor mill that we were getting these advanced
new machines. Well, Matthew, you and I had to go to the laundromat a couple times because we live on the third floor, so I don't want to carry all of our laundry up and down. Coin operation wasn't working. We had lots of laundry that we had to wash, and I said, well, there's a couple of laundromats around here. Let's just do that and get it out of the way. And then Matthew saw the truck, the laundromat truck, and I didn't see them putting the machines in there. But I think a few days later, I peeked through the door, and I saw that they had these cool screens on them. And I was like, okay, these are going to be card operated. So not only are they card operated, but there's an app that they use that actually tells you the room status. It knows the location that I'm in, and it tells you all the washers and dryers and if they're being used, and then it tells you how many minutes, and you can also report a problem if you want from one of them.
Oh, that's great. I mentioned that earlier. No more guessing. I mean, you can sit up here very peacefully in the apartment, know when it's done, know when you need to go down. And
you can enable your Bluetooth to this. You can add credit to it so I can pay from the app if I want. I don't have to put my card in there. And then I looked up this company. It's called CSC Pay Mobile. They actually have a laundromat service as well. So you could actually go on their app for the laundromat and someone can come to your house and pick up your laundry and then bring it back. So they either bring it back to their facility or they bring it to a local laundromat.
Yeah, so shout out to our property management for, I mean, right now this has not impacted our rent.
at least knock on wood, right? So.
But I think that it's great that the, I want to put my ego up front and say I think it's because of me because I annoyed the shit out of them.
I mean, the rumor was that
this was going to happen. We just didn't realize this is what it was going to be, and as it turns out, I guess it's pretty cool. We're happy with it.
And then with the fondue, Matt and I had our wedding anniversary on December 8th, and we usually go to this place called Fondue Stube in Chicago, and it's actually, I think, closer to where we live now than it ever was.
Right there on West Peterson.
Yeah,
past Western.
I think we started going there when we dated. I think it was one of our first dates.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in fondue, if you're ever in that, it's kind of a group thing you do, and I thought it was really cool that we decided to do it at home.
And Fondue Stoop was actually more of a couples thing. I think that was where
people... I thought the setting, it's not
like Melting Pot where you go with several people. Lots of people would go there on their anniversary. It has a scene that seems to be more couple, more romantic, if you will. They have a maitre d', and it's nice. But Matthew and I decided to do it at home. And Matthew's the cook. He is the scientist, so... He went out and went crazy and got three different cheeses for the cheese and some veggies, and we did that. And then we also did chocolate, right? You did chocolate and cream.
Yeah, well, just like what we would have done had we gone out. We did a kind of a dinner and appetizer type fondue first.
It was like midday, yeah.
For us, it ended up being midday. Yeah. And then we did a dessert one a little bit later in the day because the first part of that was, like I said, I just thought we hit a home run. It was
so good.
Good.
And I think what we could do is I could have Matthew write down his recipe, or we can add in a link for the recipe if you guys are interested. I think with the cheese, we just heated everything in a pot, and then we used the pot to dip stuff in. But the chocolate we put in a small fondue type crock pot that you just plug in and it heats up, right?
Well, here's another side note or another little pro tip here for some of you out there, especially if you have leftovers or any kind of food that you are looking to reheat. Here's an option. Instead of using the microwave, add a little bit of water or wine to what you're trying to reheat, throw it in a pot, and heat it on the stove.
For the cheeses?
No, for about anything, honestly. Yeah. But for the cheeses, it worked really well, being able to use just a little bit of wine in there.
And then we just drank all the rest of it.
And then it was just that.
A white wine, right?
It was amazing. Yeah. I thought it turned out great. Especially with your help, it was just spectacular.
I mean, I think the only help I offered was the idea. And I was like, you know what? We can't really go out. We don't even know if they're open. It's our anniversary. We can't really plan anything. Let's just do this. And it was nice because I like healthy food and you love cheese and I like cheese, but I'd never seen Parmesan shredded before. It was kind of a learning experience for me. They have it
like that, and they have it in blocks, and it's not always, like the Parmesan that you see in the refrigerated in the section powder form there.
So that was really nice to have three different cheeses, and just the gooiness. Oh, it's like, we have to do it again. We have to do it again. And what I would like to do next time is try and do a hot pot thing where they do in Chinatown, where you put the raw food in. And you time it. We could even just do that over our stove.
Well, we do have, I think, a couple of hot pot top things or some electric heaters that we try to do that, or even do a little bit more with kind of some of the proteins.
Yeah. We just get a chicken breast and put chicken in there, like beef or shrimp. I mean, that would be really great. There's a place near us that is, I think it's better than Jewel. It's more of a marketplace, and they have all different types of ethnic food and store brand food, and their deli. I mean, their deli is like full service, and I mean, we definitely would be able to find.
Yeah, they
some
have
cool
a pretty good selection at reasonable prices, and some things I would say they have a really good selection at some really good prices.
We've gotten the salmon there. We've gotten salmon when we first moved here.
And we've gotten a variety of protein there, and always been very happy with that selection, especially at
at the price, so.
Yeah, and I think our cat really, was very happy with the salmon.
Yeah,
really
liked that, yeah. She always.
She's approved. Yum, yum, yum. She approved it. So that's about what we've done so far, and all I have for you guys as far as advice is always look up, look at the stars, be your true, genuine self, and leave the bullshit behind you, right?
Yeah, keep your head up high, look up towards those stars, and stay safe and well.
Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.